Let's love a minute.
It was it downloading because it's never been on this computer.
We're making it work. Just so you know, can you see Jason? That's Santa. He's at Schaefer Elementary and he will be Santa tonight at 6-ish. So
We have Stacy.
Stacy will be here any second.
Okay.
But we have Randy.
Oh, hi, Randy. Probably set up. Oh, just...
Hey, Kim. By 30.
Okay, call the order. Roll call. Sean here. Wilma.
Here.
Stacy.
Yep.
Not yet. Jason.
Here.
And Randy.
Here.
Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Salute pledge.
Pledge of Allegiance
of the United States of America.
America.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
with
and
justice for all.
Right, need a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion.
I need a second.
Second.
All right, all those in favor by roll, Sean, aye. Wilma,
Aye.
Stacy, absent. Jason,
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
All right, we have agenda approved. Consent agenda. Need a motion for that.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I'll second.
Any questions on this one? Okay, all those in favor by roll call, Sean, aye.
Wilma.
Wilma.
Aye. Wilma, aye.
We're going to skip Stacy. Jason
Aye.
and Randy.
Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. All right, reports, board members. We'll start with the guy dressed funny over
I'm losing my beard. All right, we're just gonna let it go. Yes, I do have one thing. Superintendent Nugent did ask me to bring it up to our board and see if we can get him agendized for next month. He has this program of hiring veterans to where I asked Superintendent Gunderson what the fiscal impact was. She said basically the arrangement they made, there wasn't much of a fiscal impact, but you might have read it in a recent Lassen News story. Sam Williams just did a print on it, LassenNews.com. Basically, it's a veteran stipend program to where not just educators, but if you could drive a tank, you could drive a bus. The stipend would be $1,000 one time, and then some sort of a step increase as far as the retirement goes. I asked Mr. Nugent if he wanted our charter school to approve this, if he would address our board, and he said absolutely. So he's going to DC in February to pitch this program. I like the sound of it. He wanted to know if he could address our board and if we would be willing to sign on as well. We would be the last of the schools in Lassen County to sign on to this. I call it a veteran stipend program, but that's not the name of it. Anyhow, I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. And he asked if we could be agendized next month. He would love to come address the board to get support for his program. So I think it's worth looking at, especially since the fiscal impact is nothing to show support for our veterans. So it would be up to the board ultimately, but he would like to address us. So I figured I'd bring it up.
All right, thank you, Jason. Wilma, do you have anything? Randy, you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay, we're going to move on to Executive Director.
I think we covered it in my written report.
This was, well, shoot, 5:35. That's pretty good. EdTech, are they close?
Yep, Brian's on here.
Zaptitude. Go ahead, Brian. It's up to you.
All right. Hello, everyone. So I have quite a lengthy presentation today. I can already share my screen. Isn't that great? I almost always ask as I'm doing it.
I don't often relinquish control.
Let's see. Full screen. All right. Hello, everyone. So this is going to be the first like presentation that I have. And we're looking this month. There's quite a bit to review. So we're looking at a quick review of the financial changes, the forecast changes for the first interim, which was actually submitted on the 15th. But we're looking, that's something that's we're looking for approval for. So I'm going to go through a forecast summary of changes between the approved budget and the first interim. And then there's a combined cash flow, and we'll look at multi-year projection as well, since that's also submitted in the first interim submission that was submitted on the 15th. So just to back up a little bit, the first interim is really our first official communication to the authorizer since the approved budget. So each month we kind of are reviewing, Sherry and Elle and I are looking at financials and looking at trends and looking at the restricted planning for all the different grants the schools receive and making updates to the forecast. But this is sort of like the official, okay, we've updated it since the budget. And then the second interim will be in March, so we'll review that again. And then, of course, the budget is approved in June. So I'm ready to show you all the changes since the approved budget. And then I just have one quick slide at the end around next year's budget, the state budget, the uncertainty around revenue. I'm sure you guys have seen articles related to that.
So Brian, can we just kind of do a quick review for everybody? First interim includes what dates that we're looking at?
Oh yeah, so it's financial, so actual expenses and revenues from July 1st through October 31st. And then we've used, you know, that data as well to kind of refine the forecast for the year.
Mm-hmm. And then when we do second interim, we're looking at what time period?
That will be July all the way through January, the end of January.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. All right. So for Long Valley, I like to, or, you know, first of all, this slide is really just a big picture change from, you can see the revenue, total revenue and total expenses, all of the different changes from the budget to what's called the current forecast, which is synonymous with the first interim on this slide. And the variance column will just show you the change between what we submitted for the budget and what we've submitted for the first interim. So you can see, I'll get to the details of all those changes on the next slide. But in total, revenue increased by about $334,000 for Long Valley. And expenses increased as well by about $108,000. So our operating income went from, we were in the budget, we were forecasting and we approved a loss of $16,477. And now we're looking at a positive operating income of $209,469. So that's a net change of $225,000, which is that orange column. We are continuing to, obviously, as we always will about this time of year, just continue to look at the trends that we're seeing for the first half of the year and analyzing different changes that we might need to make in the future. So of course, we'll see changes again during the second interim, but we have taken a good first look at the budget, and we've included some additional revenue here to help out.
Sorry, Brian, I just wanted to acknowledge that Stacy Kirkland has arrived and is participating in the meeting. So I marked you in, Stacy, as of 5:39.
Okay.
Okay, Brian, sorry.
You're right. All right. Great. So the next slide I've included, there's a lot of changes. So I did add this slide that has some notes in here. So we'll just walk through the changes, the big, you know, categories that changed the most between the budget and the current forecast, which is the first interim report. So The biggest change, we added a lot of revenue in the category other state revenue. And this is just the inclusion of the pre-K planning grant. We got a PG&E like settlement grant, some ESSER funds that carried over from last year, which is one-time federal funding or one-time state funding. Proposition 28 funding, which is arts and music. That is actually an ongoing fund source that we've added into the budget of about, I think it's about 30,000 as well. So there's a lot of changes there in other state revenue. A lot of that revenue, however, is like one-time funding with the exception of Prop 28. So we're kind of seeing a large influx in revenue this year. And as we spend through that this year, next year, other state revenue won't be quite as high. And we'll get to the multi-year projection. We can kind of take a look at the overall trend of what that looks like over the next couple of years. Compensation and benefits, the approved budget actually included PERS, which I think was just by an accident. So we removed that and then we built in the increase to health benefits. So overall, there was a decrease in expenses for compensation and benefits related to the removal of PERS. However, we increased, you know, we did increase the health benefits to sort of match what we're seeing for those bills coming in each month. So we're looking at that trend. Other miscellaneous expenses is kind of a weird, not very, you know, specific name for the category, but it includes interest expense. And I did decrease that based on what I'm seeing. I'm continuing to review that, however, with the loans that the USDA loan and the interim loan that I'm continuing to review what the interest expense will be for the year, but it looks like it's just coming in like a little bit lower than what was in the approved budget. So that's what we have as a reduction there. We increased local revenue. So at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of revenue in the cash in county account. So our state funding initially goes into this county account, and then we've been getting transfers from the county account. So we had a rather large balance there for the first few months of the year. And because the interest rates are so high, they actually paid a larger portion of interest than we're used to seeing there. So we were able to increase that interest revenue by about 22,000, which is a lot. And that's, you know, we saw a big payment come in. So that's pretty nice for the school just for a few extra $1,000. Federal revenue, we decreased. There were some small reductions among multiple sources. Title funding came in a little bit lower. And we've forecasted a little bit more conservative the federal special education funding. So that just reduced it a little bit. LCFF, I reduced that by about 28,000 when I looked at the unduplicated pupil percentage and the LCFF calculators. So supplemental and concentration funding is what you get for the unduplicated students, which is foster youth, free and reduced lunch, and those populations. So we did decrease that a little bit in the forecast. We increased expenses in books and supplies. So we added expenses for some of the restricted revenue that we built in. Since we added some of that other state revenue, some of that comes with some additional expenses. And I also reviewed some of the trends for the first 3 months, and it looks like we've just spent a little more than what we were expecting based on the approved budget. So I did increase some categories there. So that was an increase of about 66,000. And in services and other operating expenses, I did increase the expenses for community schools. So we've built in that revenue as well. So we added in some expenses there that we know will be coming in. And then I did a similar exercise where I looked at trends of different accounts and built in some additional increases there. So that was
I have two questions.
Yeah.
I'll get back off yours. What was the amount of the PG&E?
I think it's about 83,000 that we built in.
Is that restricted or unrestricted?
We've spent that, you know.
Still?
That's what we use to buy the playground equipment.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And tonight you'll be considering the Thompson Peak chunk of money on fencing.
I'll save another question.
Okay.
All right. That's all. You're right. I forgot.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy questions, especially with all the changes. There's a lot of changes, and I kind of summarize them here. Of course, there's, you know, lots of little changes as well, but yeah. Any other questions? All right. Sweet. So the multi-year projection, I will caveat this with just saying that Sherry and I were focused on this year, like fixing or kind of making the changes for this year in the projection that we need to. And we're still in the process of looking at future years. However, the first interim report does require that you submit two future years. I really just was building in, looking at the trend, and of course, subtracting out one-time revenue that we're spending this year that we know won't be included in future years, as well as some expenses that I think we won't anticipate moving into future years based on that reduction in one-time funding. So you can see the one-time funding difference. Primarily, it has a big impact in federal and other state revenue. The blue column, which is the current forecast, we are anticipating a little over 1.1 million between federal revenue and other state revenue. And you can see that drop down pretty significantly in future years, just kind of back towards like a sort of a baseline level. With the exception that other state revenue, we are including a little bit of the learning recovery grant that was included in the budget last year. So that's kind of like one of the last remaining one-time fund sources that we're going to be spending down over the next couple of years. So we'll actually see if this expanded to 26, 27, we'd be back kind of what I would consider to be like our baseline revenue, which is just the revenue we're earning from our attendance. And not much else. However, I mean, there could be more, who knows, there might be more one-time funding by then, but we don't like to anticipate one-time funding on an ongoing basis. So that's sort of the exercise we've done here to look at the next couple of years. And you can see as well that in books and supplies, it drops off a little bit next year. And then in services and other operating, it does sort of a similar thing. So again, this is just kind of like a preliminary look at the next couple of years, and we'll definitely be working to make this as accurate as possible as we move through the year. Any questions about this one? All right. Okay, so moving to Thompson Peak, a lot of the kind of themes are very similar between as far as revenue, recognizing the one-time funding in and kind of adding some of the one-time expenses in and then subtracting those out as we fully spend them over the next couple of years. But you can see here that total revenue, we did increase total revenue by about $24,000 since the approved budget. And on the expense side, we increased expenses by about $221,000. So the approved budget was a surplus of $298,000, and now we're expecting about $101,000 in total. So similarly, I'll just walk through the changes here. The biggest revenue change was in other state revenue as well. So we added some of the ESSER funding that we're spending through, like the last little bit pieces of that. Some of the CTE grant, educator effectiveness, we also added in, as well as that same like Prop 28 arts and music funding that we're expecting to receive that will go for the next several years. So there's some funding in there. The ESSER and the educator effectiveness were kind of spending up. I think educator effectiveness also persists through, it is spent over a few years, so it's included in next year. But a lot of it does start to drop off again moving forward, the one-time funding as we're spending through it. Local revenue, we had a similar situation as Long Valley, where we had some money that was sitting in the cash in county account that they have for us. And it did earn some interest. So we were able to increase the revenue forecast there by $15,000. Again, another similar change was the interest expense reduction. So again, I'm continuing to review that, but it just looks like it's coming in a lot less than what was anticipated. LCFF, same story. We had a similar change where we did reduce the forecast just by about $7,000 related to the unduplicated people percentage. Compensation and benefits, actually the expense went up for Thompson Peak, and we increased some classified staffing, and the same increase to benefits cost and then removed PERS. So in this case, the increases did outweigh the removal of PERS, and it increased the forecast by about $39,000. We reduced federal revenue. It looks like we were forecasting previously a much higher nutrition reimbursement, but there's not a lot of nutrition expenses. This is something we'll review moving forward, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't overcounting revenue. So this could increase, specifically the nutrition could increase in the next iteration, but I just want to make sure I'm not overcounting revenue and overstating the operating income. So services and other operating and books and supplies, I went through a similar exercise that we had with Long Valley, where I just kind of looked at what's been spent so far and what the trend kind of looks like and what I would expect moving forward through the rest of the year. So I increased services and other operating in tech services, business services to match up with the ed tech contract, and then instructional consultants, and then some other categories based on trends. In books and supplies, we actually spent year to date, we've spent more than what was approved in the budget. So that was a larger increase of about $99,000. And that was mostly in materials and supplies and classroom equipment. Any questions? That was a lot. I feel like I'm out of breath. All right. Okay, so similarly here, you can see federal revenue specifically kind of drop from this year to the future years, back down to sort of like our baseline level with title funding. And special education is basically what's in there. Other state revenue does increase to next year, and that's because we're going to be still spending learning recovery through next year. And then again, we'll spend a little bit more of it in 25-26. That's the projection so far. Local revenues increased is a little higher this year than it is in the future years because of that interest expense. That's not something we're anticipating to keep happening over the next couple of years as well. And then expenditures actually stay relatively similar with a small drop from this year to next year related to one-time expenses as well in books and supplies. So you can see the operating income is remaining positive. It does go down towards like a break-even level in 25-26, but again, we'll be kind of reviewing and making changes to this over the next several months. All right. Cash flow looks good at the school. We did have a little bit of a hiccup with the county and them transferring the funds and that sort of stuff, but it does look pretty good. This is a combined version for both locations and the one bank account. So, yeah. I should just explain this a little bit. So the purple line does represent 6 months of expenses for both schools, and then the blue line is 6 months of payroll for both schools. So because it's out of a similar account, I could break this out in the future too if that's preferred, but because it's one account, that's really our focus, is making sure we have enough cash in that account, and it we do at this point have enough cash. The dotted line is our projection, and the solid line is what has actually happened.
I think we usually look at cash flow together.
Yeah, I saw one slide in the prior year one that was combined. So, okay, any questions about that?
I have a question. The sure. 200 the 200 plus thousand, is that going to correct itself going forward, or is that just going to be absorbed with the what do you call it, the extra money?
The reserves.
The 200 plus thousand for...
We spent more than we budgeted for.
Well, we still have a positive operating income. So we've reduced, Thompson Peak, we reduced the operating income. But Long Valley, we actually increased the operating income. So the math is the operating income for Thompson Peak went down by 197,000. And the operating income for... Long Valley went up by 225,000. So I'd say, as far as from a cash perspective, it kind of washes out. So there shouldn't be too much of an impact on the cash flow there. It does drop in the middle of the year a little bit, and that's really, and kind of catches up towards the back half of the year. And that just has to do with the timing of all the revenue that comes in. A lot of our grants are reimbursement. The state revenue usually is paid a little bit behind. So that can cause some fluctuations.
So you don't see a trend there, is what you're saying?
As far as the revenue going, or
I mean, if we continue the way we did, it would be another negative 200, but the other school will be another plus 200 covering it, correct?
Well, it's a forecast for the whole year, so we should be including kind of the whole picture of revenue and expenses okay. for the,
I got you.
The whole year. So I wouldn't expect that. I mean, we'll definitely be making some changes as things change at the school, but also we're kind of becoming more and more accurate with our forecast throughout the year. Right. So things definitely could change, but I'm not expecting them, the changes to kind of like continue to happen at the same rate necessarily.
And I want to say that when I think about the budget we adopted, it probably did not include all the expenditures we needed to make with those one-time funds. So I think those weren't in there previously, and now you're seeing a more accurate update. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the feeling I have, we definitely made a lot of increases to books and supplies and services and other operating this time around. And I do think that's mostly related to the increase in one-time funding that we've also built in on the revenue side, which is great. Next time there, it's likely we're not going to see such a large revenue shift, since we already sort of have that revenue built in, and we'll just have a more accurate expense forecast, since we kind of know that another few months have passed and we'll have that data.
So like next year, that 100,000 in books for Thompson Peak that we overspent, you know, that, so that just wasn't projected. It was that we were having that money come in and that's why we spent it, or was it an over expenditure?
I think it's mostly the revenue that came in that we're spending for. However, we are looking at trends and like trying to make sure that we're building in what your baseline expenses are. It does look like in some cases, I just looked across, you know, multiple categories, and it looks like in some cases we might just need to bump up the baseline expense that you have. So it could be, you know, I don't know that I would say, I would definitely not say that all of that increase is just like an overspent type of situation, or like, you know, you're just spending way too much. I think a lot of it has to do with some larger purchases for some of that restricted funding. But Sherry, chime in if you have more.
Yeah, no, that's what we're talking about.
All right. So I have one informational slide just to kind of give you guys a heads up on what the state sort of outlook is for next year. And we've gotten a lot of information somewhat recently about the revenue deficit that California has this year. So through December, California is looking at a $68 billion deficit. So just for a little reference, the last time I looked, at least, I think California spends about $320 billion a year. So that's it's a pretty sizable deficit that they're projecting in revenue. And the latest, you know, rumor essentially is that the COLA for next year will be 1.27%, which is much lower than the last couple of years. So we had an 8% coming into this year and a 13% the prior year. So those were both high because inflation was very high, and hopefully inflation's coming down a little bit now. But there was also some like planned pullbacks due to COVID that didn't really materialize. So they bumped up the COLA quite a bit, but we probably are getting back to sort of the more realistic COLAs moving forward. The last 2 years were the two highest that we've had since LCFF was introduced. 1.27%, what they're projecting now would be pretty low, but the good news is that it's not a reduction since there is such a large deficit on the revenue side. Just for a comparison's sake, last year we had a $24 billion deficit in revenue at this point, and the budget that was approved was north of 8% COLA. I don't think we're not anticipating it to go all the way back up to 8%, but they do find some solutions sometimes. California did sort of spend through a lot of their like rainy day fund or like their reserve over the last year. So that's another reason why we probably won't be expecting that 8%. So the state's options there when there's such a large revenue deficit is just to cut programs. Typically, they haven't cut education much, but what they have definitely done, and they did during COVID as well, was deferrals. So they'll let you earn the money based on your attendance in a given year, but they actually won't give you the cash until the following year. And that you guys have a pretty decent cash position, but that can become problematic depending on how much they decide to defer. I believe in COVID, they deferred something like 60% of LCFF. I don't remember the figure exactly, but it was definitely a large portion of your LCFF revenue was deferred to a future year when we finally received it later on. So there's still obviously more information we're waiting on. The biggest thing will just be the January proposal. So I'll probably, maybe I'll give another update on the January proposal and summarize that once that comes out. For you all, but just a little update there. And that's all. That's it. Any other questions?
With the reductions in federal and state income coming in, are we going to be budgeting ahead of time for that, or how are we going to look come 24, 25, 25, 26?
Yeah, so right now the revenue, the COLAs that we have in are the same COLAs that which is the cost of living adjustment increase in LCFF, is the same one that is published currently in the LCFF calculator and that was approved in the 23-24 budget. So we could see if COLA truly is 1.27%, we would see a reduction in LCFF for next year. But what we'll do is right when we get that January proposal, we'll just start looking at, that's a decent indication at least of what they'll approve during the summer. So we'll immediately start building that in and looking at expenses and revenues again to make sure that we're making changes that we need to make sure the school's sustainable. So we'll definitely be ahead of it right when the January proposal comes in. We'll make those changes. The interesting thing is, in the last couple of years, we've seen giant differences between the January proposal and what actually gets approved, because that's the governor's opinion. And then the legislature comes in and they have to agree on what the budget looks like for the following year. But each time we get an update, there's another one in May called the May Revise. So we'll pretty much immediately just get straight to the budget and make sure that we'll build in the new assumptions and make sure that everything lines up properly.
And can I add that Brian, L, and I have a plan during our weekly meetings before the second interim to dial in deeper those one-time funds to really be sure that our plans work and not overspend on any of those so that we can really start looking forward. Part of what we're trying to do right now is push off as much of the funds from one time. So if it still has 2 years, trying to hold as much as we can and just be really judicious about that, since we know that we're going to look at reductions. And so that'll be the pieces that we're putting in, updating each time we have a budget to submit. Okay. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Brian? All right. Thank you, Brian. Program reports are submitted in writing, so we'll move on to information items. 7A, Charter Safe insurance claims. Thompson Peak vandalism.
I included them in the packet so you could see what claims we made. You all know that we had some serious vandalism there and just wanted you to be aware of that. Elle has worked with Charter Safe to put those claims in. And do you recall what our deductible was on this thing?
$1,000 and $500. Mm-hmm. So for property, it was $1,000. For vehicle, it was $500.
Done and done.
But certainly Charter Safe, you know, starts to ask the questions of what are you doing to not have more vandalism, which is part of what we're doing, hopefully later on the agenda.
All right. 7B, special education compliance results.
Of course, we don't have Whitney here right now.
No.
I know. And that baby is pretty darn cute. I finally got to see pictures. She had worked on, we had gotten selected, right? Certain schools had gotten selected for this compliance review. She did all the work before she left. And then we got feedback from the state saying, everything's good, you know, so yay. Yay, Whitney. Just wanted you to know that that was completed and approved.
7C, assessment scores and action plan.
That's Kathy.
Hello, good evening. In your packets are our CASP scores and iReady, and I'd like to be able to go over that with all of you. So our CASP results for 22-23 school year were released and available, along with the dashboard is now up to date, and the California school dashboard, and they brought back colors for that. And so we'll be reviewing that as well. So this first slide, and in your packet, was the focusing on Long Valley and the overall. And so in English language arts, you can see that this year we had 32% of our students met or exceeded in ELA, and that was an increase of 4.7%. The other parts looking at, we have 31% nearly met, and then 37% not meeting. And then in mathematics for Long Valley, we have 16% met or exceeded, which actually was similar to what happened in 21-22. So it's only a 0.7% change in that. 28% nearly met, and then 55% not met. For Thompson Peak, we're looking at that there was a 26%, which is a 1.6 change from 21-22 in ELA for met and exceeded, along with a 10% in mathematics, and that was a decrease of 2.5%. And later on, I'll show how that kind of correlates to our school dashboard and really looking at the growth trends. This can kind of seem daunting, but as we get a little bit further, hopefully you'll see where we're actually looking at there's significant growth that is happening with our students. So we looked at a grade level analysis. This is looking at by grade level for the 2021, 22, and 22-23. We don't have any information for 17-18 and 18-19. For Long Valley, that's because the charter changed, and then also in 2021 there was no testing due to COVID, and so you can see though that there is increases. Third grade increased from 12 about 10% from 12 to 22. These are, this isn't the cohort. I'm going to show that to you a little bit later, but there are increases in our third grade. Those are our first kiddos that take this type of test. Fourth grade, there was a decrease in both ELA and math. Increase in fifth grade, a small decrease in sixth. For ELA, in a big drop in mathematics. And so we're going to talk about how we're looking at addressing that. As our grades go further down, seventh, eighth, and ninth, it's kind of a projected a variance. We had 48%, 21, 22. But as you can see, then in 22, 23, those kids are now eighth graders and they kept growing. So if you kind of look at it that way, that's how this chart is working for us. In mathematics, in seventh grade in 21, 22, they were at 33%. And then in eighth grade, they're now at 24%.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
In English, I'm looking at the huge jump in fifth grade from 13 to 33%, and then eighth grade, 29 to 57%. Does that have anything to do with the teachers that are teaching these kids that got their percentages up so high compared to, you know, the little bit of a downslope in the fourth mm-hmm. grade? What do you think is related to the good positive spikes and then the not so positive spikes? Is there something there teacher related, or what does that look like?
Sherry, were you wanting?
Yeah, no, I want to point out, Jason, uh-huh. if I'm looking at the fourth grade, right?
Right.
Okay, 36%. Those kids are now fifth graders in that next year and at 33%. So you kind of got to look at it at an angle here.
Okay. That's okay.
I knew you were missing that piece. Gotcha. So your seventh graders were at 48%, and then that next year they were eighth graders and they grew.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like an angle. Sorry.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at it right. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah.
And so we have for Thompson Peak, because there are such small reporting groups, they don't we don't have available data for students under 10 or fewer students were tested. So you, again, at the angle you have for sixth grade, where in ELA in 21, 22, they were at 25% and they kept at the same for 22, 23, seventh grade. And then there was a drop to 13% and then 25.
I want to add
I have a better one.
The mobility.
And the mobility.
Mm-hmm. At Thompson Peak, you have so many kids. You don't have the same students. So while for Doyle, you can look and you have the majority of the same kiddos from seventh to eighth grade, that is not the case at Thompson Peak. So you may be talking about almost completely different students. So it's mm-hmm. really hard to even look at that for Thompson Peak.
Right. Hmm. So this is the cohort analysis. This one might actually help make more sense, Jason, of the last slide. So your third grader, so this is at Long Valley. So when you're looking at them in fourth grade in 21, 22, there was an average change of 21.6% from third to fourth grade. So this one does show the variance a little bit easier to understand. And then along with Thompson Peak, again, you do have a large mobility rate. So, and we can't show projections for the fourth through sixth grade because it is such a small number of students. But how does this all relate to the California School Dashboard? So this is the overall state, our state analysis. So the California School Dashboard looks at all of these different areas that we're accountable for: chronic absenteeism, suspension, our English learner progress, ELA, arts and mathematics, and the graduation rates. And then I included on this kind of where the state of California, now the state of California is testing 5 million plus students. And so for them, they were looking at that they had maintained a negative 1.4 points, which kind of led them to being in this orange area of growth. And then the same for mathematics. And now they just started including this distance from standard. And that's what this little part here, 13.6 points below standard. So that's kind of getting kids up to the growth towards meeting the standards and looking at how are our students growing towards their academics and in their learning. And so if we look at that for Long Valley, so I've included the yellow, green, blue. These are good. Chronic absenteeism, we have yellow. Suspension rate is in the green. English language arts and mathematics are both in the yellow. So what that means is that we saw an increase of 15.9 students, 15.9 points from, so we gained towards meeting our distance from standard. We're still 41.1 points below that standard, but we are increasing and closing that gap. And the and looking at the in mathematics, it was a smaller increase of 5.4, but we are growing and we're actually doing better than in California in that case, even though we are such a small little piece or small demographic of students.
Kathy, do you mind going back to the previous slide? I just want to look at the points below standard.
For the state of California or for?
Yeah, lockdown? For the state of California, yeah. To compare. So even though we're further away from mastery, mm-hmm. on both of those, they got an orange, which is worse than our yellow, even though our distance from getting there, but right. because we grew, their colors are a combination yeah. of your score and your growth or lack of growth. Right. So state of California has got orange in ELA and math. We have yellow, which is more desirable because we grew.
Right. And this all counts big for renewal and looking at our growth. And so mm-hmm. when we go and speak to our authorizers and looking at like, how are we closing that gap towards the distance from standard. So looking at Thompson Peak had an increase of 4.2 points and they're in the yellow, but they did decline for mathematics. And it was and so that leads to some concern, but we have a really good game plan. And so part of that is kind of how are we doing with our local assessment, which is the iReady. And so the winter diagnostic is closing. We are closing on Friday, but I did include, I pulled a report in the board packet. It was from last week, but tonight I'm going to show. So this is our testing window was November 27th to the 21st. We really emphasized on goal setting and targeting 33% of the growth towards our annual iReady goals. So every student I talked about last time, every student has growth goals, and then they have what they call stretch growth. And we figured at this point, instead of trying to say, giving kids a target that's kind of seems unattainable of a full year of growth, let's look at 33% because that's kind of where we're at right now in the school year. And so the data that I'm sharing with you for tonight was collected today. And so for the winter growth trends for Long Valley in reading, so we have 198 students. You'll see this number 259. That's the total students that complete iReady, but there are some students like our kindergarten that didn't take the test, and then there some students weren't. But what is really great is if you look, we are growing. You want to see more green and more yellow and less of the red, and so we have growth from mid to early on. We had 18 from 19 students, but for early on grade level, 28 from 20 students. So we're growing. We have 8 students that are now in that early on grade level. 72 students are now in our reading that from 49, and then we're shrinking that red, and that's what we want to see. That we have we have now 22 students that are performing 2 levels and below, and 58 students, and that's from 44 and 66, and that's in reading at Long Valley. Math, this is great to see. Five students are now in that mid or above grade level. 19 students are now early on grade level from 13. We got 88 that are one grade level below. And then again, looking at that shrinking of that red for that two grade levels or three grade levels. For Thompson Peak, they are doing phenomenal. So they went from 23 students, and this is in reading, a 9% growth in the mid or above grade level. And early on, they 17 students from 19. But again, we're looking at that shrinking of the red. So we have 28 students that are now one grade level below, 19 and 33. 33 students from 52 students in three grade levels or more below. That's in reading. And in math, we see a lot of growth as well. So 11 students, and they've got some really great intervention programs that are happening, and kids are coming on campus. And so I think that that's really starting to show. And speaking with Stephanie today, she's really talking about really changing the culture of testing and data. So the plan of action, again, really looking at alignment of the standards in ELA and math and with specific and measurable learning targets, outlining what students are expected to know and really gaining that clarity around it. And again, also vertically, what is it, the scope and sequence, like what do kids need to know in kinder and how that affects in first grade and second grade, and building that foundation and how does that go across the grade levels, and aiming really to provide clarity and assist teachers in their planning and instruction. I think reevaluating curriculum use at school sites and looking for comprehensive curriculum that uses the actionable data. So now that we have some of these reports and some of this where they're at, how can teachers then go ahead and start focusing on the learning needs of their students and then providing support through that? And then continuing these academic interventions with targeted lessons in math and ELA, and really honing in on our curriculum that we're using. And it's especially for those kids that are in the two grade levels below, and really looking at how can we make sure that we're monitoring them even closer to get them to grow and backfill those foundational skills.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah, I just shared a lot, and sorry.
Can you throw that back up, please?
Oh, yeah.
So the first plan of action, this is the first time we're doing this, aligning the standards.
So my understanding is that with the power standards that came out, there was a need for specific and measurable learning targets. So I believe, so there is alignment, but now it's really looking at how can we get what is the essential piece that is needed in ELA, but those, and get measurable learning targets. That's kind of the piece that has been missing. Okay. And then in math, there was a huge weight on the fact that they were redesigning the framework. And so that just was published in July. And so working it now, how they didn't change the standards in math, but what they have done is not realigned it, but really made kind of the idea of what is the big picture when it comes to specific things in mathematics, and how does that inform teachers' teaching? And so getting an idea of what is most necessary and, you know, kind of the give you the most bang for your buck when it comes to teaching, and then backing it up with specific and measurable learning targets is kind of the piece that is we're working on right now.
Okay. And then reevaluating curriculum. When are we looking at bringing this curriculum on?
So it's not, it's more the use of the curriculum. So how are teachers using the ready, the iReady curriculum? So we brought in magnetic reading. And so that's being used at the school sites at Thompson Peak and at Long Valley and at Portola. So making sure and just reevaluating or evaluating and making sure that it's really meeting the needs of the students and giving the support for the teachers. And then the other piece is really looking at mathematics, because right now we have kind of a, we're using both Sadler, I don't know if I'm, and Ready Mathematics. And so making sure that either using which curriculum is going to really help teachers focus on the needs of their students and provide that support, and just making sure that there's alignment with it too, and that, and not missing a piece of like a huge standard.
So you can take what we already have, reevaluate it, and plug it into aligning the standards into specific and measurable learning is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Or
the work Kathy and her team have been doing is lovely, taking that standard and what we had as our standard and really breaking it down so a teacher knows exactly what does that look like. How do you really know the kid mastered that? And giving that level of definition, and then they're starting to match up other assessments, like here you can go here and use this assessment
to help you in this area,
to help you here, right?
Yeah.
So it's very well, and you know, we've observed, right? We've been here for a long time, some of us, and a lot of the teachers with years and years of experience are no longer here. We have a lot of teachers who are working for us that are on preliminary or temporary credentials. And so we now need to paint the picture in writing for them, because that's just not second nature to that group.
There's no way around it.
No. And I just, Stephanie, did you want to share anything going on at Thompson Peak?
Okay. I can. One of the things that Kathy had mentioned is that when I came on board, and I think just, you know, the kids, the COVID years and things, the culture of assessment here was, oh, I have to take that test again. And so one of my main goals for myself and my staff this year was to change the culture of assessment here. And we just finished our iReady last Friday, and the kids are walking out of the room saying, I made this many points improvement and I did this. And I think that is the piece that we needed to achieve first, is to get the kids to understand the importance of the test and not, oh, I'm a seventh grader testing at a second grade level. Now that makes me feel horrible, to getting them to want to improve. And I think we're seeing that shift, and kids were taking their time and enjoying the process and then being proud of their progress, whether they're on grade level or not. So I think we're going to continue to see growth based upon that, but we're also doing intervention groups and teaching classes. So direct instruction at least 2 days a week for all grades, but most grades are receiving 4 days a week of at least an hour and a half a day. And we started, which is going to, I think it's going to help us see a lot of growth. Our math scores were really daunting and really, you know, at middle school especially, and we have now started the modern classroom method that we saw in the jump in the high school math scores. We implemented that in the middle school this year, so we're hopeful that we'll see improvement in there based upon those things. So I feel like we're making good progress in all of the right directions, and hopefully continue. Kids are here, and it's wonderful, and things are good.
Thanks, Stephanie. Any other questions for Kathy?
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right, 7B, WASC.
We had a lot of info items to deal with.
Waska's not one of my favorites.
I'll make it brief. So it's been 6 years. So we have our LVS is up for its WASC accreditation on April 8th through the 10th. It'll be virtual this year. So we're in the self-study progress or process of it now. So I'm really looking forward to WASC said, hey, we're not interested in these like 700 pages WASC anymore, under 50 pages, wow. Really like brief and succinct. So that's what I'm interested in doing as well. So I've been working with the teachers and doing a lot of the front loading and writing and then giving it to the teachers to kind of look at and add things to, because it's just really daunting to do a lot of the writing. So that's where I'm at with it now. I am, now that this is my second one, I feel like it's going really well and I understand what's happening. And it's really great to see the things, you know, the idea is to reflect on what you're doing. Is it working? It's not, nothing of it is like a gotcha, like you can do this, you're not doing this, no one's in trouble for it. And I think that's a common misconception when people do it. it's really like a reflective tool of, hey, what are you doing? What do you want to do to fix it? And then you kind of check in a few years later to see if that's working. So it's really kind of in that way, a really reflective tool. And so that's how I see it. So it's not an intimidating kind of, you know, scary thing for the staff. So I will, my goal is to send you bits and pieces of it, as opposed to the 50 page document at the end of it, right? So, you know, vacation time, you could be reading it.
And, chapter on it.
And so I'm really just looking for any feedback at all. This is great. Expand it. You know, if you don't say anything, I'm going to take that. It's great. And we're just keep going. yeah, I'm really excited. And we've just really done well in our WASC. And I've been on a couple WASC. And I'm going to say, like, we're really doing well. Like, we are really, like, a good school and, like, really doing stuff in a great way and reflective in our practices. So I really expect us to get the highest, which is the 6 year with the 3 year write a mid-cycle review and send it in. That's what Thompson Peak got the last time, and I fully expect students to get it too, because we're excellent.
So I'm just going to say that, so Kelly is designated as our WASC coordinator. She successfully saw Thompson Peak through theirs. Is it last year or the year before?
My last year there, 21-22.
Okay. Yeah. So and she's served on a lot of committees now at other schools, which you just gather more and more knowledge. And she actually was asked just recently to start chairing committees. So she's doing a great job with this. So
yeah, flattering.
I appreciate it.
I'm right there, Chair.
Those volunteer organizations right there with the money.
Yeah. Excellent. So yeah, I'll just be sending you emails and just take a look if you're able. Awesome. Thank you.
And that way, when the committee asks you questions, have you ever seen her? Did you get to contribute?
That's the first question they usually ask. You know what this is?
Yes.
Never saw.
Thank you.
Okay.
7E, procurement review.
That's me. So the procurement review is one of the many reviews that we have to go through for the food service program here. And we just had a review. It's done every 3 years. For us, it's a little bit difficult because we have very limited vendors that we that will deliver out here. So having a finding is not going to be abnormal for us because we don't have the people, the vendors to pick from. And then there was just some policies and procedures that we need to put into place that we did not have for the procurement. It was a learning experience for me, for sure. It's understanding all of that. And then even though we only have like one company for produce, and when we have a pick of two companies, you still have to go out for bid and the criteria still has to be met. So that will be something different that we'll be doing next year.
That's the last two action items are those policies that the USDA wanted added.
You still with us, Jason?
Yes, sir.
There's been no ho-ho-hos. It's hard to see.
I need to practice that. I'll be here for a second. I think I got one more song and they're going to come get me.
Okay.
All right. We'll see if we can move to these quick. All right. Action items. 8A, discussion and possible action regarding approval of first interim budget. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
All right. Wilma beat you out, Stacy.
That's fine.
Any discussion? Seeing none. A roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Passes. B, discussion of possible action regarding approval of consulting agreement. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of surveillance camera equipment from Verkada. I will make the motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion's approved. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of MOU, which you have in your hot little hand, I believe.
Yes.
With Susanville School District for additional services. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Jason will second. Any discussion?
Yeah, what is this basically for? Can you give me a synopsis? I was trying to read it.
You know what? We always had one when we were working with them through Ravendale. Right. And then it wasn't a requirement. And recently we have had a situation where they are actually, last year they lost like 40,000 by having us.
Oh.
Okay. And what that has a statement in there besides confirming the 1%, but the ability for us to buy other services and they can bill us for other costs.
Okay. It has
to be approved by everybody, but I can't see them losing money as a result of having us.
All right, roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Andy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding acceptance of 22-23 audit for Long Valley Charter School. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of installation of 8-foot perimeter fencing for Thompson Peak. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Wilma's got the second. Any discussion? Okay, roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of new heating air system for 217 East Sierra office. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Jason seconds. Any discussion? Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of two part-time educators, one at Portola and one at Doyle. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of code of conduct for food service policy 4006. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Thank you for your hard work on that, Al. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of procurement procedures for food services policy 4007. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
You didn't trip over that at all. That was good.
Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Aye.
And Randy? And
aye.
Thank you, Randy. Motion passes. We'll take a 2-minute break and then go into closed session.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what I need to do.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, I gotta go because I got that.
Closed session, Randy, I think, stays, right?
Randy does. I'm going to create a, does anybody need a room to hang out in or just looking?
Yeah.
Brian, do you want me to open a room for you to go or are you saying goodbye?
No, I can go. See you guys. Thank you.
Super. Oh, I need to stop recording.
Okay, no reportable action. Back in an open session at 6:46. Item 10, future items. You can read it if you want to. Is there anything to add?
Did we have an update on the construction? Will we have that at the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
I can tell you that the building was supposed to be delivered on Monday and it didn't come. I know. I know. Now they're saying the first week in January, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. See you next else. Will we adjourn at 6:47 p.m.? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And so our meeting is supposed to be 5:30, not 5:45 anymore.
It is now 5:30. On Wednesday.
Hey, you said it. I was wondering, Tracy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.